I'm the leader of this squad. So listen up. You said Dracula knows we're here. So let's just try to find the amulet. And get the hell out of here.
With the e-cig.
What?
I have it every episode. Every
time, man. Every single time.
I just saw the smoke like drift in front of me. Or the
usually,
vape. Or
usually
whatever.
Try to blow it up.
Right. Is that a fucking
It's a cloud,
e-cig?
Man.
What's that? Said, is that a fucking e-cig?
It's True Detective season 2.
I'm sucking a robot's dick.
Oh, that's great. A friend of mine just opened the, she runs the vape counter at Party Source down in Newport. They just expanded to have its own, like, department in the store. So, you might want to check it out.
I don't think the second season of True Detective is particularly good so far, but it has, like, the best, like, the most quotable lines ever in it.
Well.
Cool.
Cut off your mom's head and rape her
corpse. He's like,
kid.
You did this to me. You did this, you little fucker.
How much?
This kid, threw away his son's, shoes. Jordans or LeBrons or whatever.
Yeah, you're LeBrons.
So, he's a cop, so he found out, where he lived, and he showed up and, knocked on the door. And the guy is like, the kid's father comes to the door, and he's like, hey, is it okay if I...
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I speak with Timmy or whatever? And he's like, this is kind of weird. And he's like, look, I'm a cop, blah, blah, blah. I just need to speak to your son about a matter. He's like, okay. And so Timmy comes to the door. He immediately clocks the shit out of his dad, knocks the kid's dad out, and, grabs the kid. And he's like, I'm going to decapitate your dad and butt fuck your mother, kid.
Oh, fuck.
And then he scares the shit out of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good show.
In latest episode, he's in
Up.
Oh, just doing one quotable.
No, not one. I don't want to hear one quote. I'm watching it as soon as I leave here.
You already heard one quote from this.
No.
Have you guys watched The Brink at all with Jack Black and
not yet.
Tim Robbins? It's really good.
I watched the first episode.
Yeah.
I like the guy from The Daily Show.
Which one?
The guy that's on The Brink. Is there more than one guy from The Daily Show?
It's Jack Black, Tim Robbins. I don't watch The Daily Show anymore since everybody...
Oh, the guy who plays the Pakistani taxi driver.
Pakistani prince.
Yeah, he's a...
correspondent on The Daily Show.
Yep.
Forget his name.
He's in a lot of stuff. I like him. He's funny.
Yeah. I've only seen him on The Daily Show. He's pretty funny on there.
Yeah, he's really funny. I know that. He's good.
I watched all of Knights of Sidonia, the new season.
I saw that was out, yeah.
I'm rewatching the first season with Ellie before I watch the second season. I just watched all two seasons of Silicon Valley. It was very good.
It was very good.
The show's fucking hilarious. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
It's legitimately probably the funniest show I've seen in five years.
I've seen bits of it. I love T.J. Miller, so I really
want
to...
If you want my HBO Now login, just tell me. I'll let you in.
It was, me and Ellie, we binge-watched it. And it was the very best stuff out of Office Space combined with, just some... Awesome shit. The Gabe from The Office, I forget his name in Silicon Valley, is...
Jared.
Yeah, hilarious.
His real name is Jeffrey or John, but they got his name wrong on the first day, so they just call him Jared.
He gets in one of the, because it's all about douchebag tech companies and their growth or whatever, and so they send the Google car to pick him up and it's gonna take him home, but it the GPS reroutes because the guy who owns this company is building an oil rig island that he's gonna live on out in the ocean, so it won't let him out of the car, and it drives to the like dockyard and puts him in a shipping container, and he gets shipped to this. And like, he's a normal guy, and that happens like halfway in the first season, and then like everything after that, he just like becomes like more like every episode, he's more and more like crazy and cracked out.
Like, he walks out.
Commentary on, like, what corporate America does to you. I don't know.
He's the only human being on an island of robots that are building this, like, self-sufficient island. He finally gets back, and he's had zero sleep, and they're, like, they're trying to help and everything. And he's, like, right as, like, the finale's coming, he passes out on the floor of the hotel room and just misses everything. So funny. I binged listen to Hunt the Truth. Have you guys heard about that?
I mean, you told us about it.
Yeah. It's a fictional podcast set to lead up to Halo 5 Guardians and why like there's a dispute between Spartan 2s and Spartan 4s. And
because 4s are twice as good as 2s, right?
Apparently. But Keegan-Michael Key plays the main guy, Ben Giroux, and he's like a war journalist that was there when New Mombasa was destroyed and partially glassed in the last game. And it's just him trying to discover all the hinky shit that ONI did, ONI, the Office of Naval Intelligence, did to make the Spartan 2s. And it just
are the twos newer than the fours? Or the
no,
fours
the twos newer? Are the originals. The two
is that Master Chief.
That's Master Chief and Linda and Kelly and all them.
And they're the fucked up like half cyborgs. They can't ever take the suit off.
They can't take the suit off, and come to find out that out of like 1,500 attempts, only 44 succeeded to go through all the training and augmentations.
Wait, Master Chief can't take off his suit?
Nope.
How does he? Does he still have a penis?
As far as I know.
How does he pee?
The suit is self-sufficient. Like, if you read the books, it literally tells you that when he pees and shits, it turns it into nutrients and stuff, and the suit recycles it into the...
But how does this, like... It doesn't see any sunlight, and it's obviously, like, wet from him, like, pissing in it, too. Like, wouldn't it grow, like, fungus or something? Wouldn't it fall off at this point?
It's got little air dryers in there.
Like, doesn't your skin need, like, some kind of light?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's got ultraviolet lights in it or something.
Yeah, what does Master Chief's dick look like?
Draw us a picture of Master Chief's dick and send it in.
Yep. There you go.
But it's good. It's a good podcast. I've never listened to a fictional podcast. That sounds cool.
It's 13 episodes long, and it was really, really good.
Is it done like an old-timey, like, world? Yeah.
No.
This off the front, Master Chief.
That's what I would do to listen. That would sort of take me to listen to a radio show, I think.
It starts out as him writing like a introspective into what the Master and who the Master Chief is. Because at this point, he's the world's savior. Everybody looks up to him and stuff. And everybody's like, nobody can be infallible. So they want to know more about him. And it's like a puff piece that he's given by ONI. And he's like talking to the people.
I'm going to dig deeper.
He's talking to the people they tell him to talk to and stuff like that. And like somebody says something that doesn't really stick right. So he starts researching it on his own and stuff just starts to open up.
I'm punting for the truth.
No, Master Chief is his rank, right?
Yeah, Master Chief, John Spartan 117.
What if there are other Master Chiefs? I mean, truly there are other Master Chiefs.
Of the Spartan 2s, he's the only Master Chief. Everybody else is just a Spartan.
So, but there's another Master Chief.
There probably is of different ranks and stuff.
Interesting. So what do people call him, like?
John 117.
Okay. I didn't know, like, that's what the public called him or whatever.
Yep. He's, like, the Master Chief in the headlines. But is
the Master Chief.
Yeah.
The Master Chief.
What? Is Master Chief a rank in the real military?
I doubt it.
I know there's, like, Master Sergeant and, like, Chief Petty Officer. I know there's different versions of Master and Chief. I don't know if they ever align.
I very much doubt
it. I'd say check the Navy, if anything, but...
Yeah, it sounds like a Navy rank.
I think it might be a Navy rank.
I feel like if you're a chief, you have to be a chief of something if it's a ranking for you.
Yeah.
Master Chief, Petty Officer of the Navy.
Oh, really?
One of the main characters is played by... the main guy is played by Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele. And then Kumail Nanjiani plays another main guy. And like Nathan Fillion's in it, playing his character from the games. And so it's really good. It's very well done.
Is Nathan Fillion in the new one?
Yeah, he's in the new game. He plays Buck in Halo 2 and the newest one coming out.
Cool. So he's not the same guy. Wasn't he a guy in ODST too?
Yeah, he was in ODST as like a Spartan 4.
Wasn't in 2, was he?
He was in 2 as a cameo. You can hear two characters talking like through a door.
Okay.
And it's him carrying on a conversation with Alan Tudyk, also did the voice of the other guy. Okay. It was like a Serenity homage that when Bungie did it, they did it to them.
Okay. But he was mainly known for ODST.
ODST,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Like, each episode is like between 9 and 14 minutes long. So it's not, and it's him like keeping like a secret journal just in case something happens to him. People know what he was doing. And all the stuff he uncovers is pretty cool.
Sweet. You guys should listen to that podcast instead of this one.
Yeah, turn this one off right now. Yeah, go listen to that cool one and never come back.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Germany, right?
I was about to say Germany. Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, big spike in hits from Germany this week. Hey, if you're listening in Germany, let us know why. Where you heard about the podcast? What's Germany like? I mean, I have family in Germany, so
I just assume maybe like in DC is like something to do with like the World Cup or something, and National Deutschland Cup. They accidentally like, oh, there's a podcast about this, and then those 52 people were very disappointed.
After watching Brink, I kind of thought maybe the U.S. embassy was like under siege and like shut off from the world, and the only info they got was like weird random podcasts, and ours was one of them. That's what part of the Brink, like when they shut down the embassy, like they're not really getting any info to and from anybody, so like they just get random shit.
So yeah, what's new, guys?
Nothing.
This is episode 72? 73? 73?
74? I think it's
73. It's 70.
Danny, where are we at?
70, go fuck yourself. Who cares?
I stopped keeping track after 69. That's what I was waiting for.
It's not even worth it now.
There's no other funny numbers after 69.
Yeah.
What have you all been playing, Matt?
Been playing a lot more Resident Evil Revelations 2 with Cordelia. Started that back up again. We took a break for a while.
Is there new to new content come out, or that's the one you have a subscription for, right?
Yeah. New content has come out, but we haven't gotten to any of it yet. We're still working our way through the main chapters.
73.
And it's we got to this chapter 4, I think, and there's this. It's a gas level. I don't know if you ever played, know what I'm talking about. Like when you have poison to like gas. Run in and out of poison gas throughout the whole level, and like you have a certain amount of time limit you can be in the gas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played a level like that. It's super fucking annoying.
I'm getting a Mario Water level kind of vibe from it.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking that actually it's exactly like a 3D water level.
Yeah.
It's annoying. So yeah, we played that up to that point and then we got frustrated and quit. Because we just kept dying over and over again. But mainly I've been playing The Witcher 3.
You and Danny share that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What level are you now?
I'm like level 12 or 13, I think.
Holy shit. Really?
Yeah, I've just been... I did all the White Orchard stuff. Like,
yeah,
I did
too.
All this quests and side quests. I even went to all the question marks because there wasn't a whole lot of them.
So did I.
Yeah, and then I go to the Novigrad / Velen area because I thought they were two different areas, but they're actually just one gigantic area mushed together.
Okay.
And it's like ridiculous how much stuff there is to do in that area. So I've just been like running back and forth doing side quests. And I've got like 94 question marks, and I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous, stupid.
Have you talked to the Bloody Baron at all?
I did. I did all of the Yelin sub side quests where you go to the witches and do the Baron.
I've only talked to the Bloody Baron. I haven't gotten to the witches yet. Did the try to figure out what happened to his wife and daughter.
Yeah, I found. I found him, and then he like kind of went along his way, and now there's some new asshole that's taken the place for the Bloody Baron while the Bloody Baron's gone, and he's just letting people pillage all over the place. It sucks.
Yeah. I have a lot of problems with the inventory management in that game.
Yeah.
It's super annoying.
I had some problems, too. There's like a side quest in Yevin or Yelin, something like, I can't remember the name.
I think it's Yelin.
Yelin.
Knew what it was till you said it wrong. I don't know anymore.
There's like a where you can do some races, and you get like a new saddle for your horse, blinders for your horse, and saddlebags, which is the important thing.
Yeah, I just bought a pair of saddlebags.
Yeah, I didn't want to buy one, but if you did the races, you got one for free with 30 extra pounds of weight, so I can hold 90 now.
Yeah, that's about. Damn, that sucks. I wish I would have waited to buy those.
Yeah,
how is it now? Do you guys is it a game similar to like Dragon Age, or is it more?
To be perfectly honest,
it's a mix between Dragon Age and Skyrim.
It's kind of like a 3D, third person Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Yeah, yeah. It even does the hooah when you get like a new quest and shit like that.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Hooah.
that I don't know, that Viking yell or whatever. I don't know if I captured it.
The music in the game is hilarious too. It's all like really old timey, like medieval, like flute pipe, like flutes and banjos and stuff when you're fighting monsters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Dandelion in it?
Not so far. They talked about him a couple of times. What? Like, I think he's definitely the narrator, because they have those kind of like previously on Witcher kind of things when you load the game back up,
which you cannot skip.
Yeah,
suck. But it's just masking the loading time.
Yeah, it's just masking the. That's the one thing about the game is the loading times in it are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hate dying because it's like a full 3 minutes to like load your game and come back to life.
Yeah, and if you fast travel, like a 3 minute ride away, you might as well just ride like to that place because.
So the loading time, but I mean, I can understand because it's like just a massive world. There's like a lot going on. I think it's really great. I just wish the loading time wasn't so terrible.
Yeah. It is really fun to just ride around and explore shit. There's something everywhere.
Yeah.
And unlike Dragon Age, it's not just like fetch quests and that's really interesting shit.
I particularly like the contracts because there's like all these monsters hanging around and your job is to figure out like, why they're here, because you can't really fight them until you figure out like who they're the spirit of and stuff like that. Some of them are kind of like you randomly find out some girl died here like a year ago, must be her, but some of them have really interesting stories to them.
Yeah, and I don't know, have you done I've only done the one part where you play as what's her name, Ciri,
there's like
protege.
There's like two parts where the premise of the game is you're chasing after your protege, basically, who has some sort of power that makes her very attractive to this like band of wraith riders called the Wild Hunt.
Right.
So you're trying to find her.
Yeah, I thought your protege was like the little girl with the white hair.
Yeah, she is.
I thought you were running, but like she grows up.
That dream you have in the beginning of the game was like, I don't know, so 20 or 30 years previous.
So she has, like, black hair as a girl.
Oh, she's white hair.
She still has white hair as a girl.
I thought you were tracking the girl that's in there.
Tracking Yennefer.
Yeah, you start out tracking Yennefer, and when you find her, she's like, we've got to find Ciri before the wild.
But that's pretty much just the prologue. Like, it's not what the game's about. You're not, trying to find Yennefer.
Yeah, you find her pretty quick. She doesn't make it very difficult for you.
Yeah. I don't know.
So you're like, there's like sightings of her in different places and you're checking them out. I just get distracted by tons and tons of side quests, especially any side quest that involves getting a unique card for Gwent.
Really?
I've like basically broken the game. It's like,
can't be that hard when I only played the game for about 5 hours, but I was at the point where I could not lose Gwent.
Yeah, it's a really simple game and the computer is terrible at playing at it, but it's still kind of fun to play.
I'm totally bored by it. Like, I tried to play it a few times, and
I just want to get get all the unique cards and stuff. There's like a couple of cool mechanics in the game that I like. My favorite thing to do is there's a special unit called a spy, where you basically give your opponent a unit, and like so that the strength is against you, but you get to draw two cards. So I have two of those in my deck. And there's another card called a decoy where you put it down and you can pick up a card that you have on the table and put it back in your hand. So I have two of those in my deck for when people play spies against me, because they play a spy on me and draw two cards. I decoy, put the spy in my hand and play it back on them, and then I draw two cards.
That's smart.
So there are cool little mechanics like that that kind of keep it interesting. But for the most part, it's a really straightforward game.
It seems like the people get progressively better at it.
Yeah, they do. I had a couple of challenging ones.
Did you play the Bloody Baron?
Yeah, he was a little difficult because I hadn't gotten any unique cards yet. There's like four different factions you can play for the game, but you only start with a deck for one. And I've been playing it for a while and buying all the cards I see in taverns. And you need at least 22 units to start a deck. And I have not gotten 22 units for any of the other starting factions.
It seemed like the guy whose power was to clear weather was really, really good.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
I
don't see the need to play another faction.
There's like each leader has a special ability, kind of like a stronghold or something like that. the Northern Realms is a starter deck you have, and like the there's like 1 liter is you can pull a fog card out of your deck and play it. Another one is like if they have more than 10 force in siege, you can kill one of their units. And then there's 1 liter that just says like clear all weather conditions on the board. So everybody plays weather conditions for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't play any because they just bog down my deck most of the time. But
they saved my ass a few times.
They've like, it'll depend.
If it's all about like having higher strength than your opponent. So if your opponent has a bunch of weather conditions and you don't, I mean, you have more guys with strength in your deck and you clear all the weather conditions anyway.
But yeah.
Let them play all their weather conditions, and then in one move, I've like nullified like two or three moves of theirs if they've played multiple ones.
Yeah, I don't think I've unlocked the guy that clears all weather conditions.
He's a starting one.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh. You start out with two of them, the Impenetrable Fog guy and then him.
Oh.
I find it much more useful than Impenetrable Fog guy.
They just give that one to you like right away at the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
I only had one. Switch him.
Yeah, yeah. You got to press like X or Y or something when you're building your deck, and you can switch him. But I've done all of the mini quests so far that revolve around getting cards for that game.
So you guys like it then?
Yeah, I think it's great.
I do. I fall asleep a lot while I'm playing it. I think it's the music. Like he said, it's like the really classical, like tooting horn.
I don't have a whole lot of complaints about the game. The one thing that bothers me is your horse Roach is like an asshole. Yeah. Every other game that I've played where there's like a horse, where you like whistle for it, it appears out of nowhere and like runs up to you or something. When I whistle for Roach, he appears and then just sits like 20 feet, like 30 feet away from me. And he's like, what's up? And I'd whistle again, and he'd maybe take like 5 steps closer to me. I'm like, God damn it, Rich. And so I'll be like running away from some like epic monster I accidentally ran into. And I'm like whistling for my horse, hoping he'll like run up next to me so I can like jump on and get the hell out of there. And he's like, I'm Roach, bitch. He's like, like half the time he appears behind you. So you actually have to double back to get him and stuff.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I wondered if that had anything to do with like me letting him get attacked. Sometimes I'll use him as bait. Like I'll run in there like and let a bunch of ghouls wail on him while I wail on them. And he's indestructible. Yeah, why not? Right?
The other thing I did is just for fun. I'm playing on the second hardest difficulty, and I wish I just played on the hardest difficulty because
apparently it's super super hard. Like it's way way harder.
Well, the hardest thing that the difference between the third and the second hardest is you can't rest and regain life.
Yeah.
And I felt like that, like that's the only like purely mechanical change in the difficulties.
Well, if you get the perk that lets you gain like 10 stamina it's a second or something like
10 stamina a second, 10 you stamina have like a minute. 50,000 a life. It doesn't equate to much.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't think, you know, it's not that high. I think it's like a couple hundred, I think.
Yeah, it's more than a couple hundred.
Well, it's your level 12.
Yeah.
I'm only level 6.
What have you been playing, Ish?
Lots of Hearthstone.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Been playing it because I saw the thing you posted. I was going to try and come to the game store probably on the 11th.
Yeah.
To try it out. But started out playing the Mage a lot, then moved on to the Hunter because I was liking the DPS.
Hunter's pretty sweet.
Then finally, I just kind of starting to fall in love with either Priest or Paladin because of the healing and the card control.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unique rather than just going full force at somebody. Because with the mage deck, I liked it a lot. But if I didn't get if my cards didn't fall in a good way to start the game,
yeah.
And I felt like it was kind of like a fruitless effort to continue. But if like I got the certain cards to start, it did in quite well. The June season, I made it all the way up to rank 17.
Oh, sweet.
So I don't think I did too bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You got the card back.
Yep. Got the card back and then started it. I got my 13 stars to start the next season or whatever it was, or 8 stars. Yeah, 8 stars. So I started like a 21, 22 area. It was pretty nice. And still playing it. Just mainly right now I'm unlocking all the base cards for
I think you get them up to level 10, all of them. You unlock all their cards.
That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, good. If you're listening to this and you like Hearthstone, Nintendo Dreamcast is hosting a Hearthstone regional qualifier at Art of War on Beachmont. Saturday, July 11th. 16-player maximum, but it is free to play, and there'll be prize support to hand out.
And what time does it start?
Registration starts at noon. Probably get the first round underway by 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Nice. I plan on losing immediately, but I'm going to give it a shot. It's going to be fun.
What have you been playing, James?
I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight.
Me too.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I just feel like I'm such a Debbie Downer lately when I talk about video games. Like, I don't want them to be bad. But so Arkham City for me was one of the best games. What was that, like 2013? I think it came out. Yeah. Maybe 2012. Yeah. Like, that was just a great game. Like, open world. Like, you know, I just love the whole patrolling Gotham City from the rooftops at night. Arkham Knight is kind of like that, except you just drive the Batmobile every fucking where you go, everything you do. I seriously spent 2 hours on a mission where I didn't get out of the Batmobile, where I was shooting fucking tanks. Like, for some reason, the Batmobile has a 50 caliber machine gun and missiles. So I spent like 2 hours like road racing people, shooting them with machine guns, using the bat winch. Yes, there's a bat winch to shoot it onto buildings, so then I could like pull the Batmobile onto buildings and shit. Like, why don't you just get out of the fucking Batmobile, Batman, and use the fucking gun that you have that'll get you on top of that building, you know? And I know a lot of people, you know, some people do like it. I think Ish likes the Batmobile or whatever.
I tolerate it. Don't like it. I tolerate it.
It just, every time I get in the Batmobile, it ruins the Batman experience for me. It's just like, ugh. God, why am I doing this? Like, I want to be punching criminals. I want to be swinging, you know, between rooftops and gliding in the air. But no, it's just so contrived. Like, every time you get in the Batmobile, the game has to make up a scenario for you to be in the Batmobile. And the Batmobile is the main focus. Like, the fucking disc is the Batmobile's wheel for the game. Like, ugh. It goes into, like, Tokyo drifting slow motion every time you're in it and shit. And it's just...
Rocksteady really wanted
Riddler
to make a car
races.
Game.
Who the fuck cares? Like, the city is about to explode and everybody's going to die. It's cool. I'm going to do some Riddler races.
When I played Dead Rising 3, one of the main things I hated is that you had to drive fucking everywhere in that game. Whereas before, you never drove in a Dead Rising game, pretty much.
I mean, Gotham City in this is like so much bigger and there's so much, but I feel like it's smaller because I'm not traveling through the city like I normally would. I'm just like going through it at 200 miles an hour with like eyes forward following some fuckhole and like a street racer. It's like, And, you know, I keep going on the game hoping that the Batmobile sections will stop, but it's like every time I get to a new checkpoint, they bring out the Batmobile for something. Like, I had to drive the Batmobile all the way down inside a fucking building, like, to the bottom fucking floor. Like, get out and go find a way to open the gate to let the Batmobile into the next section kind of shit. It's like, God, just
Batmobile. That sounds like lots of fun, driving a car in a building.
Yeah, it's great. Like, ugh.
James was messaging me like 2 days after he got Arkham Knight, like, hey, you want to play Destiny? I just want to play, like, let's just do like a Nightfall or something. Yeah,
I just need a break from the goddamn Batmobile. It would be different if like it was fun, but it's like, it's not fun. The Batmobile sucks. It's like turns into a really weird, like when you deploy the cannon comes out of the top of the car. And so it turns into like
tank mode.
Yeah, instead of like driving, it becomes a third person shooter where you can like strafe and stuff in the Batmobile and like some weird version of Twisted Metal. This is bad. I don't know what they were thinking. Hopefully it'll get better. I haven't touched it in 3 days, so I'll get back to it.
Last month I saw there's like an anime site I go to a lot called Crunchyroll, and they are having a promotion where if you signed up for a 30-day trial of Crunchyroll, you got a 30-day trial of GameFly free. So I did that, and I watched anime for 30 days. And then in July, I set up the GameFly because I had 30 days to redeem my 30-day trial of GameFly. So that's what I'm going to be doing for like part of the month, is just getting other games. Like I got a 2 day trial, which or two games at a time trial. Mm-hmm. Whereas before I've only ever gotten one, but I would know I couldn't play three Xbox One games at the same time with like The Witcher in the mix. Mm-hmm. So I just got Resident Evil Revelations, because it's apparently on disc now.
The second one?
Yeah, second one. And because I figure I could play through that really quick, and I have. I'm like, I just got it on Friday, and just playing like an hour a day, I've gotten like halfway through like the third episode, and there's only four episodes.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like, it's a nice Resident Evil game. I kind of like that it like throws punches at itself. Like, there's jokes in the game. Like, we need gasoline and a battery for this helicopter. And the new character Moira goes like, "And you think we're gonna find it around? Just lying around out here?" And then Claire's like, "In my experience, yes."
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty funny. Have you played Raid Mode at all?
No, I don't know if I will. I just wanted to get the story. There's like a lot of fun stuff you can do with the game. Like, you can play through it, and then the first time you play through a level, then you unlock like stealth. You can play through it again on like time trial, or play through it again through. You have to use stealth the entire time or something.
I haven't messed with any of that.
That's all fine, but I really just wanted a campaign. And if they decided just to make the campaign 8 hours just so they could stuff all that other crap in.
Did it come with all the DLC or just the main story?
Well, there's like two extra chapters or something like that. I haven't played either one of those yet, but that's the only thing I know of. I think it came with all the DLC. I had to install all the DLC before it let me play it.
Yeah, with zombies, I played a little bit of Dying Light this past week too.
Yeah,
Dylan got it from Gamefly, my roommate, so I stole that from him for a few. It's pretty neat. It's like Mirror's Edge meets like Dead Island type thing. You do a lot of the running and jumping and climbing, and then the first person zombies hack and slash. Cool. It's pretty fun. I'm just now started it, so I haven't gone too far into it.
And I couldn't, like I said, I didn't want to have three Xbox One games. So the other one I checked out was the Persona Q game that was on 3DS, where it was all like they're all chibi characters. But I still like its Persona. It's basically an Etrian Odyssey clone.
That's what the impression I got.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's called Persona Q. Okay. It's like Etrian Odyssey with Persona characters. You do the little labyrinth and draw the little map, and there's treasure boxes and enemies. I liked Etrian Odyssey. The only thing I didn't like about Etrian Odyssey is it didn't really have a plot at all. So having an Etrian Odyssey clone that has a plot and like actual characters and character development, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, that might be really good, actually. Yeah.
I like it so far.
So did we all watch the movie?
Monster Squad?
I did not.
You couldn't find it anywhere?
No, I looked everywhere for it.
I watched it. I downloaded it off my Movie Cult. I thought it was there's like a lot of it, but I didn't remember. I didn't remember the opening scene at all.
You remember it being so fucking awesome? Like, the movie is seriously, I have nothing bad to say about it. It's a movie I can just come back to at any time and watch.
Did you rewatch it for the podcast, or have you?
No, me and Allie rewatched it like a month ago. So it was fresh on the mind.
I really wanted to watch it. I was super disappointed. So good.
I can bring it over next time.
It's pretty neat.
I got the special edition on DVD.
It holds up pretty well.
I remember really liking it when I was like 12 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Frankenstein is like the worst lackey ever, though.
Yeah.
Go and kill the children.
God damn it, Frankenstein. Master. God damn it, Frankenstein.
Sorry, Master. I started playing with the children, and now I'm on their side.
I thought you said she was a virgin.
Well, just Steve, but he doesn't count. Doesn't count. I totally forgot about that. That was a great.
I think what I like most about the movie is like that kid's probably the most like out of all the adults and everybody in it, he's like the most rational headed kid. Like, he's clearly a whole case of why am I surrounded by idiots at all times.
So there is one thing I definitely don't remember about that movie, probably because I haven't seen it since I was like 12 years old or something. But they go into the German guy's house and they get him to translate the book. Mm-hmm. And then like as he's leaving, he's like, "If I was a vampire, I wouldn't have a reflection, see?" And he's like, "Wow, mister, you know an awful lot about monsters." And he's like, "Yes, I guess you could say I do." And then he like closes the door and like his sleeve rolls back and you can see his Holocaust tattoo. I'm like, whoa, fucking dark.
That's, that's fucked up. I probably didn't get that.
Yeah, like he like closes the door and there's like a full like 5 seconds where it just shows his outstretched hand and he's got his little like serial number tattooed on his arm. And I'm like,
survivor.
Jesus, that's dark. Well, dark for a children's movie.
So for those of you who don't know, we're talking about the movie Monster Squad, which is, I think, 1987. A move about a movie about a group of children that have to fight off movie monsters from ending the world.
Yeah.
The classic monsters like Dracula, the mummy, Wolfman.
Frankenstein, mummy, Wolfman, and the creature from the Black Lagoon.
So you want to walk us through it?
Well, it opens up with a little kind of scrolly thing like Star Wars, where it's like Abraham Von Helsing brought together a group of people to try to end the forces of darkness in our world forever. And they blew it. You kind of get a little scene where you get to watch Van Helsing kind of fuck up. They do some sort of ritual that opens a hole into limbo, but instead of sucking up all the forces of evil, they just all get sucked up themselves. And I felt bad for the girl particularly. She's like, ah! Then it comes back to present day, or like 1983 present day. And there's these kids sitting in a principal's office getting disciplined for drawing monsters when they're supposed to be paying attention in science class. And the principal is like truly a terrible, awful adult. He's like trying to act like science is cool, kids. You gotta just, I use a kid when I thought monsters were cool too, but now I think science is cool. And they're clearly not into it. And as they're leaving in the hallway, I thought this was funny. I guess it's just like a 1980s thing. They're like, they make some sort of like a whole bunch of like slurs about homosexuals,
yeah,
particularly in verb form. Again, like they don't say fagging around. I can't remember this, like
fagging off.
Pretty sure it's one of those classic 80s movies where like a small child comes is like faggot. Like they would not fly today.
Yeah, they're like, they said something about like homoing around or something like that. They don't tell you about the people with cat heads and all the homos walking around.
It's funny.
And so those are the first two kids in the Monster Squad. Then there's this kid named Horace that everyone just calls the fat kid. And he's like, not even
Horace
that
is the
fat.
Samwise of yeah. the group. He's the Samwise
like,
GMG.
He's getting picked on by bullies and they slap his candy bar out of his hand. And then, like, this other kid from, like, junior high. I'm just going to call him
Fonzie.
I'm going to call him Rufio from now. That's who he reminded me of.
No, he was straight up Fonzie, man.
I mean, he was Fonzie, but I thought of especially when he's, like, shooting the bow and arrow. I'm like, man, it's like Rufio right there. But he is, like, he's a couple of years older than the rest of the kids. And so he's like, don't pick on the fat kid. And they're like, okay. And then
he's got, like, the leather jacket and yeah. slicked back hair.
And he's got the little
bike. Like, I want to be in the Monster Squad. This shit's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like trying to get into their Monster Squad. I think it's really just because they have a treehouse that overlooks like some hot girl's bedroom. So he's like
right.
looking through some like binoculars and this hot girl, and she's like taking off all her clothes, and he's like, whoa.
He's like the classic guy, like if you're in school and you did like nerd things, like maybe you played Magic the Gathering, there's always this one like older kid that like really wanted to play Magic or whatever, and so he hung out with him. But was not your friend outside of that setting.
Yeah. But apparently some guy is flying, like a couple of guys are flying a like World War II bomber over the city filled with dead bodies. This is just something that happened. And,
it was like a freight airliner.
It was like they're a freight airliner. Freight. But they hear a sound in the back and they think they're just delivering dead bodies. So they're like, what could that be? And they go back and it's fucking Dracula. And then Dracula is like kind of like lounging over this box that says Frankenstein on it. And so the guy like freaks out and opens up
the
bomb
door. Wonder
what the
guy that loaded that cargo plane is like, there's a Frankenstein in this box. I guess it's going to America, guys.
Yeah. I'm surprised the coffin didn't just have Dracula. Like,
I'm sure it was, like a classic black like, coffin with the red lining. They're like, oh, we got a Frankenstein and a Dracula on this shipment, boys.
But he opens up the bomb doors. Because like and then like Frankenstein and the creature of the Black Lagoon's boxes just like fall out of the sky, and the Dracula.
So basically, like Dracula has all these like monsters, and he wants to get America. So like anybody would do in the 80s, he rents out a World War II bomber and loads all his friends into crates. And then kills the people driving the plane when it's in midair, so they all have to jump out of it. Classic 80s move.
And then the Wolfman shows up. He's in the police station doing, like, you gotta lock me up! You gotta lock me up! I'm a Wolfman! And then he, like, grabs some officer's gun. They shoot him and kill him.
So the Wolfman, like, in this case, is, like, he's a werewolf, but it's the separate dichotomy where, like, during the day, he's, like, a rational guy. Dracula keeps him as a slave and waits till he turns into a wolf and unleashes him. So he, like, immediately beelines for the... And then the kid's dad is like the police officer, because that always happens.
And he's having marriage troubles with his wife. They touch on that like once, and then they come back to it one time after that. Mm-hmm. Could have been the whole movie without that. I don't know.
It's a nice C line.
Yeah. But it kind of drags on for a little bit around that time. Like, he's like on the roof watching the nearby drive-in movie theater or something. Yeah. Wouldn't that drive you crazy if you lived within like, I don't know. It looked like it was less than a mile away from like a drive-in movie theater.
Probably it would drive me crazy, but like not a lot of people had cable back then. Broadcast television sucked. So I would probably do that too.
We actually, the town I grew up in still has its drive-in theater. It's still operating, and we would go all the time because it was not hard to catch for free.
Yeah,
we would take our radios and ride our bikes up and do it. That's how I saw Mortal Kombat, man.
Yeah. God, but then they find like the kid's mom, coincidentally enough, like buys Van Helsing's diary from a. Like a garage sale to give to the kid as a present.
I want to get this straight now. There is a child who is probably the only person in this entire town that knows anything about monsters and has a club called the Monster Club, who just happens to get Van Helsing's diary from his mother at a yard sale.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's...
No. That's awesome. I mean, that's actually what would happen. I see why that would happen. I love this movie. Like, anything I say about it, I just think that's what makes... It was the 80s. These things are magical. Yeah, like, that's just I know you're the president of the Monster Club, so I was out and I found this monster diary for you in German. So I actually have no idea that it has anything to do with monsters.
Yeah, it all talks in German. So they have to... The only guy that they know would even speak German is, like, this... the typical, like, locked in his
Holocaust
home
survivor.
Sort of old
Ooh,
guy.
Ooh, that's even more dark, because if you think about it, now his mom probably knew that he was a Holocaust survivor. Like, the kid didn't know, but she was like, hey, do you know somebody that reads German? She's like, oh, do I? Let's go visit old Holocaust survivor and make him read this German diary.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? Like, hey, guy, I know you survived the Holocaust, but we really want you to read this book for us.
But they were trying to play him off as, like, the creepy old guy that lives all by himself, but turns out to be, like, the nicest guy in the world. I'm trying to think of another movie that has that besides Up.
He's probably really, really nice, but every time people go over for, like, tea and stuff.
Sandlot, that's what I'm thinking of.
Every time people go over for like a drink or whatever, he has people over, it gets real dark because he just talks about the Holocaust. You're like, I love him to death, but I can't go over there anymore. Every time we go over for dinner, it's Holocaust this, Holocaust that.
But like he sees them standing outside of his house, and like, but then they're like, it has like a cutaway where they're all staring up at him in fear, and then they're like, he's like inside his house and he's holding a knife and he's like, it's time, children. And he's like, for more pie. And he like cuts a piece of pie off and gives it to the kids.
I remember that.
And it was like super cheesy. But he's like a really nice old man. He reads a diary for him. And he's like, oh, this is a talisman. It's made of pure light. And it's indestructible except for midnight every 100 years. And it's
basic monster.
And he's like, this diary entry was exactly 100 years ago. The next day it's vulnerable is tomorrow night. So, super helpful. Then you find out he's a Holocaust survivor. Mucho dark. And then, so, they... I forget. How do they figure out where... Oh, they meet Frankenstein. So yeah. Dracula sends Frankenstein to kill the children, if necessary. Now,
this is a big ball drop on Dracula's part, because he basically sent a 9-foot-tall, mentally handicapped individual who'd never been to America or out of a box in 100 years, randomly in the direction...
Well, Frankenstein has experience killing children, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
I guess, I mean, yeah. He's like, I guess if I have to send anybody, I guess I'll send the person who is also, like, is literally handicapped mentally. Got his brain from a jar. He'll understand.
But he finds, like, the 5-year-old Phoebe, and then they bond. it just shows, like, the next, like, 3 days of them just playing together, basically, playing with this giant monster. And then
this little montage of Frankenstein and this girl hanging out.
And on the last day, they have this all planned out, where two of them and Frankenstein are going to go into this evil lair and get the talisman back before Dracula can destroy it. And Frankenstein, upon stepping in the house, is immediately rendered incapacitated by a cave-in.
So classic, it's like, cave-in.
Oh, shit! So it's just two kids.
Fat kid, like, and it's Frankenstein and fat kid.
Yeah. They, like, get cornered by, like, three of the monsters, Wolfman, Dracula, and Dracula's new brides. And the only way they get away is they, like, pull on this lever that happens to be, like, open up a trap door that leads them directly to the talisman. And, like, Dracula had blown a hole in the wall to the talisman, but heard the kids come in, and he's like, well, the talisman will still be there when I get back. I better go, like, check what's going on.
To his credit, how did he know that there were specifically children there there for the talisman?
Well, he's got, like, one shot every 100 years. You think his priorities would be like, well, I'll pick up the talisman and then check on what's going on.
You can't destroy it till midnight anyway.
Is Dracula's strong point.
He's lived for, like, hundreds of years. He should have worked out what like, this plan should be.
You'd think immediately would have killed the kids by ripping their throats open.
But they managed to get the amulet and get out of the house. I don't even remember how they get out of the house. It just shows them out of the house next scene. Frankenstein comes back to life at some point, I think, helps them. But then they're running away, and they get picked up by the rest of the guys. And the German guy owns, like, this really old, like, army jeep, basically. Yeah. Like a car, like a con. It's not even like just a jeep. It's kind of like a convoy jeep thing without the canvas top.
Almost. Yeah, it was left over like after he got rescued from, like, the Holocaust camp. The army guys were like, "Sorry about the Holocaust. Here's a jeep." And he's like, "Oh, I guess I'll take the jeep."
So they're all, like, trying to run away, and the mummy catches up to them, and he's like, just like leaning, he's like hanging on to the back of the thing.
Rewind here. Like, first of all, the mummy was not chasing him. The mummy was coming back from the museum.
Oh,
remember, fine. He breaks out of the museum and he's just in the middle of the road.
No, he broke out of the museum a couple of days ago because he was, like, hanging out in that kid's, like, closet for some reason.
I thought he was, like, on the way to the house for the first time. Not there's like that.
Well,
the
they all met together in the swamp when they revived Frankenstein. But there's that whole scene where the kid says there's a monster in his closet, and the dad just opens it. It doesn't even look in the closet. He goes like, "Oh, a monster!" He's like totally, like, playing it off. He, like, slams the closet door, and the whole time you see the mummy, and they're like. And then but it climbs out the kid's window.
The mummy's not a bad guy, honestly. Mummy was pretty, I mean, he didn't kill the kid.
It was a pretty terrible monster, that's for
sure. Yeah, it's a mummy. I mean, like a mummy, just a piece of beef jerky wrapped in toilet paper.
Mummy is like nothing if he doesn't have some sort of, like, mummy's curse.
Like mystical sort of powers.
Like power, mummy returns where he, like, grabs you and you turn into dust.
Yeah.
It's like the worst monster ever, besides maybe Creature of the Black Lagoon.
I don't know. He's like the mummy is like even a worse zombie because he's even slower than a zombie.
Yeah, more vulnerability. Too, because all they do is they tie the Rufio guy ties his bandage, one end of his bandage, to an arrow and shoots it into a tree as they're driving away, and it just kind of, like, unravels like a sweater, you know. And as the bandage unravels underneath, he's just dust, so he just falls apart. never even occurs to him to let go until he's fully unraveled.
Where we all had to fight a monster, I would hope that I got to fight the mummy.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. Like, if I have to fight a monster, I'm going to go for the mummy.
Well, yep. The mummy from the Mummy the movie is actually pretty freaking scary. He just touches you and...
that guy cheated. That was like a sexy mummy. First of all, this don't exist. I mean, that guy was pretty much like the. To be honest, the mummy from the Mummy was like some kind of lich wizard lord. It wasn't your like run of the mill mummy.
Oh, the other thing I thought was great is in preparation for this whole plan, they show Rufio in like shop class making stakes and
silver
like,
bullets.
And that's the other thing. He made a fucking silver bullet in shop class.
Your
in
shop
school.
Teacher totally would have let you do that in the 80s.
Yeah. Really?
He would have helped you.
They melted down his mother's silverware, and then he not only did they apparently make the silver bullet, but they actually packed it with gunpowder for him, too, because he put it into a revolver and shot it.
All right, well, they might not have gone that far. But.
I know, like, silver bullets are really big, like, back in the 50s and 60s, too. Like, people buy them as souvenirs for their kids because of... Lone Ranger and shit.
Oh, yeah.
My dad had one.
Yeah. But I just thought that was hilarious. And
I wonder if Lone Ranger ever fought a werewolf. It's got to be like a Lone Ranger.
That would be a stacked fight. That would not be fair for the werewolf. Like, okay, I'm going to go, like, you're a werewolf. You're like, I'm going to go fuck up some cowboys tonight. And the first cowboy you come up against happens to have a gun full of silver bullets. How fucked up would that be? Poor fucking werewolf, man.
Bad luck for him.
Like, are you serious? Lone Ranger?
The other thing is, after they stole the amulet, what Dracula decides to do is, instead of like chasing after them or whatever, he drives to the kid's house and throws a pack of dynamite into his clubhouse just to spite him, I suppose.
Yeah, fuck that kid. Again, blow up your goddamn clubhouse.
It's like almost midnight. This is his one chance every 100 years to destroy the amulet. And he's like, it's not going anywhere. They're just taking into the town square or something. I can just double back for that. First, I'm gonna fuck up this kid's clubhouse. Priority number one. And then the dad gets his black partner killed when Dracula throws a stick of dynamite underneath their car, and he just kind of looks on in shock as the black guy can't open the door, or maybe doesn't open the door. It's like the one casualty in the entire movie beside the monster is just this guy's black partner. Yeah.
The stereotype fits.
Yeah. Then they get to the town square where there's this church. This is where they decide to open up a wormhole in space. Is right in a populated town square.
If I'm going to open up a wormhole to kill Dracula, it's going to be in a fucking church. You want to have all your bases covered.
But they have a fight scene with the Wolfman in his I don't know, warehouse or something. And they stick dynamite down his pants and push him out a window, and he blows up into a million pieces.
Blows
and the pieces,
nards.
Like, reconstitute themselves, kind of like get pulled back together like magnetism.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I might not agree with. It's because, I mean, they went into it, like, does it have to be a silver bullet, or what happens
that's the only reason.
Explodes?
They wanted to come back to the point that only a silver bullet can kill a werewolf. Yeah. But Rufio pulls a gun off of a cop. Or a nice revolver, happens to be the exact caliber for the bullet he created.
The 38 was a very popular firearm in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It's like the 9mm like of today.
Yeah, shot him, and then he like turns into a regular person for like 5 seconds before he dies, and he goes like, "Thank you." Like, it doesn't...
It's kind of a question, because he's like, thanks for killing me, I guess. I'm not a werewolf anymore, but I'm also fucking dead.
Yeah,
kid.
It's like, he said thank you, but at the same time, he was kind of wondering whether or not he should really be thanking him for it. Like,
He was pros and cons, you know?
It's like, he just didn't
pros,
have a lot of time.
I'm no longer a werewolf. Cons, I just got shot in the chest and I'm dying.
Yep.
That's the guy from Real Genius and Napoleon Dynamite.
You would know.
John Grease. Yeah.
Huh.
He plays Laszlo in Real Genius.
So that's like basically three monsters down since Frankenstein is on their side. So it's just Dracula and the creature from the Black Lagoon. And the creature from the Black Lagoon just like steadily, slowly like walks towards Fat Kid. And Fat Kid shoots him with a shotgun. And then the creature is like, I am not very effective away from water.
Yeah, the downside to being the creature from the Black Lagoon... aside from the mummy, like everybody else has like only certain things that can kill them. But evidently, he has all the weaknesses of fish, which are also very susceptible to multiple ways.
Yeah,
of dying.
He's like basically a normal person, except I assume he can swim really well.
He can breathe underwater. He's just a normal guy that can just breathe underwater.
Just like in the middle of town square, is not playing to his strengths as a monster. Basically,
maybe that's why they did it. They're like, this is the furthest way from water. Like, what if they had tried to do it at a water park? They probably would have got murdered.
Yeah. That would have been a bad
idea.
It was
on his home turf.
I like when the fat kid goes, and the name's Horace, and he does a little shotgun thing.
Yeah, they would. There's the like, bullies are there. The bullies hiding. Wouldn't let him into the store. He's like, let me the fuck in. And they're like, no, 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 no. So now we're down to just Dracula. Meanwhile, they've been reading the incantation out of Van Helsing's diary using the hot older sister. Because she said she was a virgin.
Yeah, to open up the portal and do the magic spell, you have to have a virgin. And so he of course got his sister because no one has banged his sister, or so he thought. Right.
But she reads
pretty funny.
She
it was
reads
kind of
the
a
whole
riff
thing.
On the whole virgin. Like,
yeah, it was nice. It was a nice
virgin
touch.
Culture.
She's like, are you sure you're a virgin? And she's like, well, just Steve, but he doesn't count.
Just a tip, Steve.
But then Phoebe is a little 5-year-old girl, like, is he a virgin? Yes!
And that would have been real dark if she had read it. And the portal didn't open up.
Daddy comes into my room sometimes late at night.
It's implied. That point, Van Halen, like, they just all jump in the portal themselves. Like, yeah. Oh, fuck it.
But,
too dark.
The German guy teaches her, like, just tells her what to say. And meanwhile, like, Dracula is slowly running towards him as he's beating down a barrage of policemen coming at him, like, one or two at a time. And he's really nice about it, too. I mean, I think mostly maybe just broke a couple people's bones. He could have been tearing out throats just as easily, I think.
Well, the thing about Dracula is, you know, he's a gentleman, he's a count. Aristocracy. He's not some animal.
But there's like just one at a time policeman running at him like with bats, or sometimes just standing in front of him and going like, you can't do he be here, stop, putting up their hands, and then he just smacks him out of the way one at a time until eventually that he like picks up Phoebe, he's got her by the throat, but then Frankenstein shows up and he's like, And then they finish reading the incantation. German guy like throws the gem as hard as he can and opens a big wormhole in the sky. I think I see a couple of regular policemen get sucked into the
wormhole. Yeah, I mean, it sucks to be them.
Yeah, it was like
that's what they get for being ineffective.
Didn't grab onto something quickly enough, basically.
Yeah.
But like Dracula is like dragging the main character with him before he stakes him, and then Van Helsing comes back out of the wormhole to limbo that he got sucked
in
into.
You don't grabs in limbo.
He grabs Dracula and drags him back with him. And he gives the main character a nice thumbs up. Like, I'm Van Helsing. Like,
he's like, yeah, I've been stuck in here for 100 years. Now I'm going to be stuck in here for another 100 years with Dracula. I think he slowly realized his mistake when that wormhole closed. He's like, fuck.
Yeah. It's like, no one's ever going to open his wormhole ever again either. It sucks.
Yeah. Another 100 years. I want to make that sequel 2086 Monster Squad 2. They opened it up and
there was a sequel. It just got canceled recently.
Ooh.
Good.
Yeah. But that's basically, Frankenstein gets sucked into to everyone's dismay.
Yeah, like, oh no.
Oh no.
But at least it seems like the main character's family is reunited. All those marital problems fade away in the face of a tragedy.
Yep.
I love that movie as a kid, man.
Oh yeah,
it's one of those things where kids get together and fight horror monsters, and like parents don't understand what's going on.
Wolfman has nards. Obviously, the most quotable line from the entire movie.
I have the yellow shirt with Stephen King rules on it. It's one of my favorite shirts. Yeah. I need to find it.
Apparently, Jerry Bruckheimer's version of the Lone Ranger was supposed to have werewolves in it. And, like,
that would have been great.
The money he was asking to do that scene was too much, and that's why they canceled him as the director.
Is that the new one?
Yeah, the new one.
It's just like so fitting, you know? Lone Ranger should become a werewolf hunter. He's already got the gear for it.
Yeah. Werewolves of the old
weird west thing, and there could have been a giant mechanical spider.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Save Samma Hayek from a giant mechanical spider. A wiki, wiki, wick.
So we don't have a ton of news, and none of it's really all that interesting.
Wet Hot American Summer's coming back. I don't know if you guys saw that preview.
The trailer
is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Want to slash you off a piece of this big greasy dick?
Pretty much any comedian that you know and like now was in Wet Hot American Summer, like before they were like famous.
I see.
It was this, I guess people call it a cult classic, but came out in like 2001, 2000, and it's a just really awesome comedy about summer camp, and it's all like the summer camp tropes and like. But just making fun of them. Now
it's like the last
now they're
camp.
Making a TV show on Netflix. And they got everybody back. So it's got like Paul Rudd. It's got
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper. Poehler.
They're all playing junior high kids.
Yeah, they're playing it. It's a prequel series. So it's before the movie they made almost 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the movie's The Last Day of Camp. This is the first week, the 8-episode show. And like it's like, I know some of you were 16 years old last summer, and now you're 17.
I like the
and it shows all the grown-ass people sitting there.
Some of them like some of the 40 additions. Now. They got H. John Benjamin to be the camp counselor, which is awesome.
Yeah, I thought John Hamm was a good addition.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but
dude,
it
I love Chris Maloney and everything. Like he's in all the Harold and Kumar movies and stuff, and like bit parts that are like the funniest parts of the movie.
Yeah. Paul Rudd was great in the original one.
Yeah,
the whole scene where like she asked him to pick up his plate and he's like throwing shit around. It's great. Yeah. Video game news, though.
You got a little bit.
Nintendo apologized for the shitty E3, or did they really apologize?
No.
Or did they just acknowledge that it was shitty and they don't care?
They acknowledged that they disappointed some people, but they like offered all kinds of excuses. Like, we watched the Microsoft and Sony press, and it seemed like they were hyping games that aren't going to come out for like 2 more years. We only put out the games that we know are going to come out like next year. That's why we weren't overhyping things that are never going to get here and stuff like that.
Which I don't think is even true.
It's not terribly true, no.
Because I remember thinking at least on one of them, like, wow, they have a lot of games coming out this year. That's unusual for E3. So.
Yeah, it was sort of like a half apology, half like, y'all need to get your standards straight or something like that.
Yeah, apparently Reggie said, the reaction to the Metroid Prime Federation Force was negative. There's no sugarcoating it.
Did you see the petition had like 82,000 signatures of not to make the game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't just not make it now.
They'll make it.
They might not. They might like change it drastically. Yeah.
They might not call it Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Federation Force.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that where they fucked up on it is they probably shouldn't, because it doesn't. It's like so fringe in the Metroid universe that it doesn't really have anything to deal with like Samus or something. They could have just called it a different game and people probably would have eaten it up. They'd be like, oh, that game looks awesome. It's like a competitive shooter, like on the 3DS. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Or they should have like put Metroid like lower build, like Federation Force.
Yeah.
The Metroid Prime game.
When you have like a rabid fan base that hasn't gotten a game with their favorite character in 10 years, and then you just announce, like, I understand. Like, the game looks cool. I want to play it, but I understand if that was my jam, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. People really hated that last Metroid game. I don't think they know how to make
Mother M.
Yeah, a new one.
The Shenmue Kickstarter is up to like $4.5 million now.
They're asking for more money. Sony's like, we need more money. I'm like, fuck you, Sony. Just pull out your goddamn wallet.
Yeah.
You've got $4 million in pre-orders. I think you're safe to pump a little bit of money into it.
Yeah, I don't think it's such a big deal because, I mean, they're getting a bunch of money to pre-make the game, but by using profit to make the game, they're not going to have as big a profit. They're going to lose that money at the end anyways. So,
yeah.
And like,
I think with holding like certain aspects of the game, if people don't pay more money up front, it's pretty fucking
dirty. That's pretty stupid.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's like Xbox One versions and other kinds of versions, like other platform versions.
Well, no. So after they hit their 2 million, their 3 million stretch goal was like, if we hit 3 million, you'll also be able to go to this other city.
Oh,
and then
right.
if we hit 4 million, we'll add this other city to
pay
the game.
More money and we'll make more stuff in the game that we're going to sell to you.
So they want to add the city from both Shenmue 1 and 2.
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. they should just keep it small, I think.
Yeah.
For the first one.
And another thing that came up like a week and a half ago, so probably don't really remember it too much, but some article interviewed one of the guys that's working on the Final Fantasy VII remake, and he said the game wouldn't be turn-based, or it might not be turn-based, and I don't know what he means by that.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a third-person action RPG.
I know, that's what I'm afraid of.
You run around with Cloud and fuck up shit with the Buster Sword.
Like Kingdom Hearts style.
Yeah, like an RPG that isn't turn-based, to me, is like Kingdom Hearts or like Fallout 3 or something like that. Right. That is a non-turn-based RPG.
But I mean, he would have said like action RPG, right? Or
yeah,
the
I think
translator would have translated it as action RPG.
So I don't know what the deal is. Like, what does he mean it's not going to be turn-based?
I
think it's going to be the same exact game. Maybe they have some slight change to the battle mechanics where they decide to call it not turn-based.
What was it in KOTOR? Because it wasn't seriously like...
I have no idea what that game
time
is.
Time stoppage turn-based.
KOTOR.
No, I think it'll be like... What was the? Not Dark Souls. What is it? What was the game where you're like the God of War, but not?
Oh,
Darksiders.
I think it'll be like Darksiders. You're gonna have Cloud, and you're gonna jump around with your big sword and like tear through Shinra soldiers.
That sounds terrible.
Just an action RPG.
I think if they do that, people are gonna be pissed.
Yep.
I'm hoping what he means
by not turn-based is what he meant to say, what it won't be like active time battle system-based. It'll still be a classic Japanese RPG where you go into a combat scenario, but maybe it's like strictly turn-based like Final Fantasy X was. You didn't have a little bar you waited to refill. Mm. Every character just got to take their action in a turn.
I think Quinsome says it's not turn-based, and then you're trying to find somewhere in that sentence that makes it turn-based. I feel like you're not hearing the first part of that sentence.
That's
where
you
said, not turn-based.
I read the interview, and it doesn't make any sense. And he's like, it's not going to be turn-based, but it's going to be the same game everyone knows and loves. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
It's going to be the same story.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll
see. Just have to wait and see.
I don't really care, honestly. I never really wanted a Final Fantasy VII remake. I like the original game, but I don't need to fucking play a remake.
I would have been able to live if there wasn't a Final Fantasy VII remake, but now that they're making one, I'm going to have to play it, so I better enjoy it.
Yeah. You think it'll come to Xbox?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, it'll come to Xbox.
I doubt it.
I guarantee you it will. Every major Final Fantasy release over the past 5-6 years has come to Xbox. I don't think
ever since 11.
I think it'll be I think it'll come to PS4 first, or it'll have like, you know, extra cloud missions on PlayStation. And then it'll be on Xbox.
If it came to Xbox One, that'd be fantastic.
I don't think anywhere in anything that I've read or seen did Squaresoft use the word exclusive to PS4, which I think they would.
That'd be a huge selling point for PlayStation if that was the truth.
Yeah.
They'd be touting it.
Yeah. I think the last couple of Final Fantasy games were Sony exclusive, though, for a while, weren't they? Didn't 13 come out just for...
No, 13 is on Xbox 360, and so
that's how I played
13.2, 13.3.
Yeah. I know it came out for Xbox eventually, but...
Final Fantasy 14, or is it 15, is only...
14 is the online one.
Yeah, the online one's only on PS4.
It's only on PS4.
Because it's Sony Entertainment.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that company, so...
But I don't know what they're... I haven't even heard if 15 is coming to Xbox One yet.
Supposed to be good.
What did you guys post about the Nintendo PlayStation? I didn't get a chance to read that one. I just saw
like a prototype that Nintendo and Sony tried to make a console together like 25 years ago, but it only made it to prototype, and the project got canned.
They showed it off at the E3, CES is what it was called. E3 was called back then. And Nintendo announced at the show that they were ditching Sony Panasonic
it looks like just a Super Nintendo, so I assume it later became a Super Nintendo.
It
later became a PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh, a PlayStation?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be an add-on to your Super Nintendo. It was like a disc drive add-on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it became the PlayStation because Sony's like, well, we could make this.
But anyway, it's one of those things where it was like, man, if we could find that, because it's like a legendary thing.
Yeah, apparently they're supposed to be destroyed. About. Like, they were purposely destroyed and shit.
Yeah, I think there was like a picture of them in Electronic Gaming Monthly or something.
Did it sell for an astronomical amount or something? Or somebody just found it and posted?
Well, they said, like, there's, like, so many, and they're all accounted for, or, like, they're all destroyed. And, like, if there was one, it'd be $80,000 or something.
This was found by someone who had ties with a former Sony executive. Okay. So it wasn't, like, bought or anything. It was found probably in his attic after he died or something. Apple yanked a bunch of games with Confederate flags from the Apple Store.
Oh, yeah, that's old news, though.
Yeah, we didn't report on it.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah, we missed the Confederate flag rush and the legal gay marriage rush.
So. Oh, speaking of, I did see a news story that I didn't post, but the new Fire Emblem is getting some heat because it's like the first game that's going to have gay marriages in it. But there's also a gay character that she likes women, but she has a confidence in you talking to pretty women. So in Final Fantasies, when you build up a relationship with someone, it's built up by like fighting together in battles, and then between battles you'll have like little like 1 or 2 minute scenes where the two characters interact, and it's usually like a story broken up into like 4 pieces. So the gay character's story with the main character is that the main character is trying to help her get more confident at talking to pretty women. So he like spikes her drink with a powder that makes the gay women see him as a girl. Like she sees all men as women and all women as men. So she can practice on the main character that even though he's a guy.
all right. That's a very Japanese take on homosexuality.
But so, there's always like 3 scenes, and then every character can marry one other character and get like a 4th scene. So apparently the 4th scene is like basically you've helped the character get over their gayness and become straight again.
Oh, did she fall for you?
She falls. She's like, she falls in love with like your female side, and then, but then it doesn't matter to her anymore. She's just, her heart is racing anytime she's with you, whether she sees you as a female or a male.
I don't really see any problem with that. I mean, like, for a lot of people, sexuality is kind of a fluid thing.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, people have...
I know gay people that...
Oh, I don't see a problem with it, but I can definitely see how people get chagrin about that. That's why I'm laughing.
It's not like they sent her to a brainwashing camp or something like that. I mean, it was like... It's a weird, like, magical thing.
Gay people need to be medicated to see the world correctly and stuff like that.
If that was the overall message of that scene...
No, it wasn't intended at all, but apparently, like, they did some translations of it because it's not out yet, and out of context, it does seem kind of like a pray away the gay sort of like therapy, conversation therapy or something like that.
Yeah, but the pray away the gay thing is offensive because it comes with the history of the church, like, oppressing gay people for hundreds and hundreds of years.
I'm not saying it's a valid argument to make. I'm just saying it's out there.
I think it's a little silly.
I can see, like, okay, so there's this like strong gay lead character in this video game. Awesome. That doesn't happen a lot. Oh, you can drug them and make them
not gay,
not gay, and end up falling in love with you. And as opposed to like you drug them and they see you as a woman, but in the end they're still gay and they don't fall in love with you. Might have been the way to go with that.
But he drugs her with her consent, right? Like it was to practice talking to women, right?
Not really.
Well, that's a little fucked up.
He like spikes her drink and she doesn't realize it right away. She doesn't recognize the main character right away because it's a woman. And then he's like, oh, the formula I gave you must be working.
All right, that's a little creepy. Okay.
But I read that whole story. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
On a more positive note, the game looks amazing. I cannot wait to get my hands on it.
That'll be great.
I'm going to buy both versions because I don't give a shit.
You're going to straighten out so many gay people.
More news that I only care about, the Zero's Last Virtue got a sequel. It's basically a visual novel series, probably the only one that's ever come out in like North America on... like our consoles, but it started out with like 999, and then on 3DS there was Virtue's Last Reward, and there's like a whole bunch of news about the whole series getting canceled even though it's supposed to be a trilogy, and like the story doesn't make sense if you don't get to see the last episode. So I was really disappointed. I thought it would come up on Kickstarter or something at one point, but they just announced the sequel is just being produced normally. So pretty cool news for me.
It's awesome. I've heard a lot of good things about 999. I've never played it.
Yeah. It's very niche series. You either like know about it or you've never heard of it in your entire life.
Seems cool.
Yeah. Also, Persona 5 got another trailer. So I was eating that up earlier in the week.
More anime than gameplay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the game's not coming out until December or something.
So Money Number 9, people are making that. Kiji Inafune is going to make like a Mega Man Legends version of Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, it's called Ash. It's another spiritual successor, which basically means I'm ripping off my own copyright because I can't use the characters anymore since they're owned by the company I left.
That's funny. The Nintendo NX is expected to launch in June of 2016. Which is not that far away, really.
It's a year away, about.
Yeah, but I don't know. Apparently, like, supply chains have already been told they're getting them, so.
Yeah.
I want a normal controller. No motion, no video screen.
Yeah,
fuck
not,
you.
Do not bet on that.
Yeah.
They haven't even said what it is, but it's going to redefine the way we play games.
Nintendo says, fuck you. We'll do whatever the hell we want.
The rumor is it's going to combine handheld and console gaming some way, which... There's a way to do that. That could be cool. Like, and do
like
it well.
The PS Vita?
No, like, mobile gaming. I don't know.
I mean, like, I see it as being, like, a platform where the handheld's the controller, and then you can go to... I see it as an extension of the Wii U. You know how, but the Wii U can only go, like, 10 feet, but they're going to take it to where, like, the it's truly, like...
It's just a 3DS.
You use the Wii U controller to play on the TV, or you can take the controller on the bus and continue to play the game.
It's just a 3DS you can plug into your TV if you want and play on that.
Yeah.
Wild speculation from Nintendo Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something with remote play.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the way their technology is headed, so...
Yeah, they need to do that. Need to do something like that. The new PS4 model coming out. It's lighter, quieter, and it has twice as much storage space.
Tight.
God damn it. I'm already running out of storage space.
Should have waited for the better version.
Plug in an external HDD. Oh, wait, you can't.
I think I can.
No, it doesn't do it yet. It's supposed to do it later this year.
Newer version can do it.
Fuck. Xbox can do it. Yeah. Plug it on in.
There's a huge Amazon sale coming up.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm a Prime member.
Yeah, I got my parents' Prime account information, so I can use it just in case there's something on sale I want to get.
On July 15th, it's going to have deals, more deals than Black Friday is what they're claiming.
Yep.
So, good time to buy video games.
And it's a Wednesday, so clearly everyone's going to have plenty of time to browse Amazon.
Yep. Australians love that new Pip-Boy knockoff thing. They knocked a whole pre-order website offline pre-ordering.
Well, I think everybody loves the new Pip-Boy.
UK fans.
Yeah, yeah, everybody loves.
Is the big game retailer over there, Game.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Everybody loves them.
James, yeah, but be like, are you going to wear it to the podcast?
Yeah, man.
You better.
I'm going to wear
his phone
everywhere for the rest of my life.
What's this?
Just like the real character in Fallout.
You're talking about the America versus Japan robot battle?
Yeah, I think that's the last
one. So there's these guys that build giant mechs and use them in paintball fights. They built a giant mech that can do paintball war, so it has like giant Gatling guns connected. And they challenged Japan to a robot fight. And then Japan's premier mech builder said... challenge accepted, but they don't want it to be a paintball fight. They want it to be a fist fight.
Yeah, they want to be a melee fight. They want to rip the other robot to pieces and
Real
drag
Steel.
The pilot out of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see Real Steel, the movie?
Yeah, I did.
It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah. But, you know, I want this to happen. I want it to happen more than anything in the entire world.
Japan will ruin us, I think.
Good.
Do you know BattleBots is back on TV?
Is it?
Yeah. BattleBots is boring as shit. If I want to see two Roombas slap each other for an hour, I would watch BattleBots, but I don't.
Slightly melt each other with a flamethrower that you can make.
Like, it was really cool, like,
lighter.
15 years ago for about 2 seconds, and people were like, wow, this is really boring.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for this episode. Gone about the standard time.
Yep.
Cool. Send us an email at Nintendo
Dreamcast
Podcast at gmail.com.
No,
I checked.
God damn it. damn it, guys.
Nothing. Well, we got two that one day, so.
Yeah, it was like, last week. That was like 3 months worth of emails right there.
Yeah. But we responded to whoever's question, and she didn't send a follow-up email. The fuck?
She's busy.
Whatever your name is,
probably
Debbie.
Probably mad because we got her called her creepy.
Well, she was creepy.
This was not creepy.
What was her name, like Magdalene or something? Or?
I think it's a good thing more people don't email us.
We just tear them down.
Tear them down, push them away.
They listen to this podcast. They know what to expect.
Yeah, so email us if you dare. And check out our Facebook site.
If you're brave enough. I'm not saying you're a coward if you don't email us, but, you know.
We need another one from Z-Melts or John Crawford, some people that have emailed multiple times. Need a status update.
I think Z-Melts has stopped listening. I feel like I bring him up often enough that he would respond.
Yeah, maybe he's busy. Maybe he just keeps meaning
what
to.
What if he died? Wouldn't that be crazy?
We would have no way of knowing.
Yeah, we would never know for the rest of our life. But what if he's listening and now he's like, I'm just going to let them think that I died so I don't have to feel obligated to listen to their podcast anymore.
He's actually locked up.
You are our number one original fan, Z-Miltz.
He's actually locked up in like a secret Russian prison camp now.
The gulag.
And they allow him to continue listening to us, but he can't email us. He's like, why hasn't anyone sent help yet? I've been missing for years.
Let me listen to Nintendo Dreamcast.
December 4th, 2014 was the last time you emailed Mr. Z-Melts.
Yep. And tweet us at Nintendo Dcast.
Do we have his name? Is his name attached to his?
Yeah, I got his name.
Oh, let's look him up. We're going to look you up on Facebook, bro.
Remember, we have Chaz from Pokemon never emailed us back.
I think he might be a friend on our page. I don't know. I have to look it up. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Send us an email.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.